and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks. I'm so glad you can join us today. We are going to be talking about tech options and how to live well with dementia, just how we age in general, what works good for the person diagnosed, as well as those caring for them. And we have the honor of having Abby Ritchie with us today. And I am not going to steal her thunder. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but we're going to have a fun conversation, that's for sure. And I think we'll all learn a lot during this conversation. But before I introduce you to Abby, I always like to encourage people to please visit alzheimerspeaks.com. We have all kinds of free educational resources that we've been curating since 2009. So not only can you listen to all of our radio shows, we've got well over 1,000 of those, but to dementia chats where people living with dementia speak as a panel on a topic, to watching dementia in the arts where people living with dementia share their artwork and their stories with us, to a poetry section, learning about memory cafes and dementia-friendly communities, and so much more, along with some free tools. And you can also access Dementia Map, which is our global resource directory. And you can just go to dementiamap.com to find that. And again, alzheimerspeaks.com to get our free educational resources. So with no further ado, let's go ahead and introduce you to Abby. Well, Abby, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. We lined this up a while ago, and you are just a wealth of knowledge. But I'm going to have you introduce yourself to our audience, who might not be familiar with you and all the wonderful things you're doing, if you don't mind.
That is so sweet of you. Thank you. It is an honor to be here with you, and I'm just thrilled. So thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Abby Ritchie. Some people know me as the Tech Guru. I am the Director of Corporate Communications for the Smarter Service, which is a tech company that helps older adults. And I am also the host of Tech Tuesday, which is on the Foresight platform every Tuesday, talking with people who are engaged in age tech innovation, mostly as it relates to residents and older adults living in senior living communities. And then in November, I started a new TV show. It's called Tech Talks, and it's on my local CBS here. And I'm basically talking about consumer-facing tech.
Wonderful. That's a lot. Keeps you busy for sure.
Absolutely.
No, I always ask all my guests if they've been personally touched by a form of dementia in their own family or circle of friends. So if you care to share on that level, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, this is very personal and new. It's personal and new because my stepfather passed away just a couple months ago. And what it's done is it's left my mom alone, right? And you know, we have noticed over the past 5 years that her memory has really taken a huge decline. And while in tests and being seen by a doctor, she has more, a very limited amount of memory capacity that they really cannot diagnose as one thing or another. All we know is that she's repeating a lot of the same news and the same stories. And so it's been on my radar for several years. It was on my stepfather's radar. It's been on my siblings' radar. And it is such a fine line of wanting to be compassionate at all times and also remaining in engaged relationship. It's just such a fine line. And we're very grateful, very thankful that she does have some amazing support through the Pacific Neuroscience Institute in Santa Monica. So, and also going to a brain gym 3 times a week now, which she's feeling really good about. So it's just a really challenging place to be.
It is, and getting that diagnosis can be really, really difficult. In fact, I just did an interview with the Normandale Center, and one of the gentlemen there was living with dementia, and it took years. He was out in California and then ended up moving back to Minnesota here, but it took several years to get a diagnosis, and the doctors can't figure out really what he has. Because he's living pretty well at four, and it's been 14 years now, but he even has all the biomarkers and everything. And they can't, he's kind of a unicorn. They can't figure out
Yeah.
why he's not progressing, and they're just enjoying life,
Yep.
at that moment and really focusing on what to be grateful for. But
Yeah, exactly.
it is tough. It is tough because you want to know so that you can prepare the best you can. And yet sometimes it's just hidden for us and we have to do the best we can and I think elevate those relationships versus the task even more and again be grateful for what we have and what people are still able to do with us.
100%.
So,
Yeah.
well, let's talk about how people can simplify tech devices. I mean, I look at just the collection of the clickers for the TV, and I could have a heart attack. I call my grandkids over, like, which one do I use, or which two do I use? And sometimes I know tech is supposed to be there to make life easier, but sometimes I don't think it always meets that goal. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you asked that because I just recently did a segment on CBS, and the last week of the month it's always Ask Abby. It's sort of like a Dear Abby. And so someone wrote in and they said, how can I make it easier for my mom to watch her favorite channels? Like, that is just such a very basic request, right? You just when you sit down to watch TV, you just want to be able to watch your favorite channels. And that's a challenge for a lot of people, not just older adults. That's a challenge, right? And so the big problem here is that our TVs are they come with a remote, right? And that remote is complicated. There are so many options on there. There's, like 50 buttons on there, and you slide it this way, do it that way. And that creates a lot of user error. Okay, that's what I call it, user error. It also is a problem because an older adult is a traditional learner and they oftentimes don't want to break it. Okay, they don't want to like press the wrong button and break it because it's happened to them before, right? And all of these devices, and we'll talk about them, they just get handed to us like they're babies and you take them home from the hospital, there's no manual. There's no manual. And an older adult wants a manual. They want a handout. They want to know how to use it. And every person's remote control is different, right? There's just like not one standardized way. So, what I found in my experience is that I always recommend a couple of things. So, one thing I really like above pretty much anything else is the Roku, right? The Roku. The Roku is a stick, and you plug it into the back of your TV in a port. And then it has a very simple remote. There are probably only 8 buttons on that remote. And the favorites button for Netflix, for instance, is on there. You can also, with a certain Roku model, speak into it. Okay. So I would say if you have a remote that you could speak into, you are one step closer to watching your favorite show. All right. So we had to take my mom's TV and get her the Roku so she could talk into it. Because holy cow, when you have to do this and this and this and this to type in the name of a show, it's mind-boggling, right? And actually just getting to that screen is mind-boggling. And all of that, clicking alone, it's just outer limit stuff like that we used to do, but we don't do anymore. So if you could just speak into it and say, Suits on Netflix. It's going to take you directly there, right? And That is a wonderful solution. So I recommend that over so many things, just because I have worked with hundreds and thousands of older adults and I've seen that their mind lines up with the Roku interface. Okay. Now, let's talk about a couple other things that you could do. And notice, I'm not saying that you should buy a new TV because that's not it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's simplify the interface. The smart TV interface is very complicated and it's different across all TVs, right? So even if you're trying to help your mom or you're a caregiver and you're helping and over the phone, it's different on every TV, except when you simplify the interface to the Roku and you can speak into it, it makes a huge difference. There are some remotes that have great big buttons on them, and I love those. There's one called the Flipper. It's available in Amazon, and it only has about five buttons on it. And there is a favorites button, but the buttons are bright, and it tells you this is the power button, right? Like it's really, really clear. This is the power button. So I love this remote. You could go deeper in the programming of it if you want to. Again, any remote that has a little microphone on it so that you could speak into it is going to be a huge help. What I recommend doing with those other remotes, Lori, I recommend you take the batteries out of them. You remove them from the scene of the crime. You put them in a baggie and label it, do not use, so that they don't get reintroduced into the ecosystem of the remote controls with your TVs.
That's really smart because I know we've got kind of a bowl with a bunch of them in, and this is the sound bar, and this is the TV, and then this is the Comcast one, and it's like one, and then if I go upstairs, they're different.
Totally. We did the same thing for her TV in the living room and her TV in the bedroom so that it aligns with her mentally in her education process so that she doesn't have to learn something, remember how to do it different ways each time. And then, simplifying it, taking those extra things away. So maybe as a caregiver, maybe the person you're caring for doesn't really need the Sonos bar, right? It could have been a gift from a well-meaning adult child, and maybe they really don't need it. And if it's factoring into the complication of the process, it's not a good gift.
And that's really smart. There could be a lot of well-meaning gifts that just don't work. And I loved when you talked about the way we learn, because I'm 64, and I remember even with computers, everyone was afraid just that it was going to crash and burn. And it's like, oh, now, oh, I just have to undo. Now it's just, I've learned I can undo it.
Undo,
Where before
right.
you would just absolutely panic. And your mind would just scatter, and then that makes it even worse. And so it really is being able to have something that knows how you learn and what's most comfortable for you. And I think that's one of the biggest complaints I hear from people living with dementia is like, stop upgrading it. It worked
Yeah,
this
it
way.
works.
Just keep it simple because they have to keep relearning things.
100%. And you mentioned, that there are going to be some adult children that are going to fly in, want to take care of mom, and fly back out and maybe buy her a new TV at Costco or something like that. And I really caution people from doing that because even though, Costco is great for a certain segment of the population for certain things, no doubt about it. You're having a party, you go to Costco. But when it comes to older adults and their technology, I would only encourage someone to purchase something at Best Buy, for instance. And the reason being is that there are experts on the floor that can answer questions. And that's what I want for my clients. I want an expert to be able to help them when they need the help. And if I'm not there to help them, I want to send them someplace where they have excellent customer service and support. And Best Buy's Geek Squad has that.
Yep, that's really important. Now we talked about TVs. What about simplifying computers and phones?
Okay, Good question. So let's talk about computers first, all right? There are a couple of different makes and models out there that you can purchase that will make things significantly easier for an older adult. But I always like to kind of reuse what you currently have before you go buy something new. And the first marker of whether or not you need to buy something new is if it's not able to update. Okay, so you may have a much older computer because that's how you remember, that's the one you've been using for the past 10 years, but chances are it's not as secure as it used to be. And when you get to a place where a device is unable to be updated, like let's say, God forbid, you're still using Windows 7, okay? But I've seen it all. And the Windows 7 is no longer supported and hasn't been for years. And it's a security issue, okay? And I don't want anyone to get hacked, to get scammed, to allow something into their device because it's not secure. So if the device is unable to be updated, whether it's a phone or a computer, that's the marker that it's time for a new device.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay. Second to that, let's talk about just like the desktop, for instance. What I do with my clients is I remove everything that you're not using off the desktop. Okay. So I'm even going to go into the taskbar or the dock down below on a Mac, and I'm going to remove all of those icons down there and only keep maybe the two that you're using. Maybe Safari is one, okay, and Photos perhaps. And maybe Zoom. That might be it for you. You don't need to have Apple TV up there or a calendar or Apple Music or news. Like, no. Even though it comes that way, it doesn't mean you need to keep it. And so I'm always teaching my clients, like, this is your computer. This is your phone. Apple may have given it to you this way, but I want to customize it for you. Just in the same way, if you were going to move into a new home, you'd arrange the furniture so that it suited you. It may have come pre-furnished, right? Or whatever, but you're going to move things around so that it suits you. And that's the same thing I like to do with clients' computers. Now, if everything is just too complicated, and I get it, there's a computer for that. And that computer is called Telekin, Telikin, Telekin. And that computer is incredibly simplified. It is literally a plug and play. And you will never hear me say this unless it's literally a plug and play. Because one thing I just really gets my goat is when people say, oh, it's so simple. It's like one, two, three. You plug it in and but no, if it's not like that, I will not be saying that. But this one is. And I've helped several clients and, set them up. They come out of the box, you plug it in. They have US-based customer service, which is huge, that you could call at any time, and an incredibly simplified interface where it just has really the five things that you may want: email, photos, today in history, or a calendar, the option to do a video chat, and the option to play games or get on the internet. That's it, right? It also comes with a big, huge keyboard, which is great for older adults. An older adult needs to be able to see the keys. And so many of these laptops, they have some reflection. Most of them don't have any lighting behind them. You can't see the keys, but the keyboard on the Telekin is nice and big and easy to use.
That's wonderful, because I know on my laptop, it's just like you can't really read the letters or whatever it is on there, because
Yeah.
There's no contrast. Yeah.
There's no contrast. That's right. So thinking if you're an adult child, oh, my mom needs a new computer, the last thing that I would suggest would be getting her a laptop. Okay. Because a laptop's really designed for portability. And your mom most likely is not taking that thing with her anywhere. It is always sitting on her desk in that same exact place. So it might look more sleek, but she's going to be so much more comfortable with a big monitor, right? That she can see, like, a 21-inch monitor, not a 13-inch monitor, but a 21-inch monitor. She could see everything clearly. She's going to be so much more comfortable with a mouse that she can put her hand on, as opposed to a trackpad, which creates all sorts of problems for older adults, a lot of issues. Like, they'll say, I don't know, I do this, and then it goes here, and I don't know how it got here. And I watch and observe, and I see that their hand or palm is resting on the trackpad, and it's creating a lot of problems. And then we also talked about the keyboard, of course. So you really do not want to purchase a laptop and expect an older adult to be comfortable using it. They're going to feel cramped.
That makes a lot of sense. And like you said, unless they're really traveling and on the go, that screen alone is going to make a huge difference. The bigger keyboard is going to make a massive, massive difference. And they know where it is. No one's going to unplug it, or move the cords and all of those types of things. And I know even like with the touchpads, especially, when people start having issues with maybe some tremors and things like that, that can really throw things for a loop. And the kids are like, no, you just do this. And it's like, well, but that's not how my body works anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Which is another reason why I would also encourage people to go to Best Buy and put their hand on the different mouse options that there are, because a standard mouse is not going to work for someone who has arthritis. It's not going to work for someone who has tremors. They would need a more ergonomic device that they could rest their hand into that would be a vertical up and down. And they actually have a ton of them at Best Buy that you can go put your hand on, and make sure that they're comfortable. I've worked with clients before who have really large hands and they're using this tiny little mouse, right? And so of course they're not clicking in the right place. And so it's typically a well-meaning adult child who picks this all up or will hand me down it. And then that device doesn't help.
Well, and even like the arrows and stuff, I'll never forget. I had somebody send me a video, and it was actually a conference video that they did with their doctor for a diagnosis. And they're like, hey, Lori, can you make hide nor hair out of this? Because we're not even understanding them. But what really stuck out to me over and above that was he was showing slides of the brain scan, and it was a black background with a red, like, pencil thin arrow that was difficult to see. And he was flying all over with it. And it's like making sure that is big and bold and has good contrast. That can make a huge, huge difference. Just changing the mouse and the arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is super sized right now. It's probably the size of my pinky. And it's red on my screen for my pointer on my screen. So yeah, these things make a huge difference. And when we're thinking about phones, for instance, all right, you can also make those same changes to the phone. What I always do when I'm with my clients is, first and foremost, I just start asking them, what apps are you using? Which ones do you use all the time? And they may say they use the phone, they use a calendar, they use Safari, and then they also maybe use camera or email. And so then I just help them and we rearrange the furniture so that everything on their home screen in their phone is there because they want it to be there, not because it came with the device or because that's how their daughter had it, but because it makes sense for them. And then I'm going to move all of the things that they're not going to use into a folder on a back page, right? And I just want it to be so easy for them so they don't have to be swiping and looking and swiping and looking, but that everything that they need is right there, especially down there at the dock, which is essential real estate, right? That should be what makes the most sense to them. And Apple's default is to put music there at the bottom. And that's not going to be what an older adult wants. So we rearranged the furniture. Also, using a high contrast wallpaper makes a really big difference, because you might find that someone has a picture of their grandkids on there, but the app logos will blend into the picture, and that just makes it hard for someone to see. So I'd say, you know what, use this as your lock screen. Let's change this. But on your wallpaper, on your home screen, let's just get a solid color, no patterns, so that all of the apps really pop. And then I got a couple of other tricks up my sleeve. So, and here they are. I love talking about this, because to me, these are things that I could be talking with someone and just say, oh my gosh, can I make a couple little adjustments to your phone for you while you're here? And they're like, sure. And so what we do is we go into the settings app, and I just show them. A lot of times I show them my own phone. I go, okay, look at my phone. Can you see everything like perfectly on my phone? They're like, yes. I'm like, let me make these changes for you. So we'll go into the settings. We'll scroll down a little bit to display and brightness. Okay. It's in the same category as general. We click there, and the first thing we do is we supersize the font, the text size. The default is like 9. It's hard to read, right? So we supersize it. We take it from what's at a 50% and bring it up to 75 or 80%. If someone has a vision impairment and they need to go even larger than that, we can make it larger than that in the accessibility settings. That's the first thing. Second to that, and it's right below, is we bold the text, okay? A lot of people don't know that they can do this, but you can bold. And what that means is that all of the headers are going to be bright and bold and so easy to see. So I love doing that. And then if you go down just a little bit more, there is a setting at the very bottom. It's called display default and display zoom. And so the default is that everything is a little compact, but the larger display makes everything just so much more comfortable. You still have your 4 apps down below and the grid on the homepage, but the names of the apps are bigger. The size of the apps are a little bit bigger. And we just make these couple changes, and then voila, it's like, I just let a belt out, a notch out of my belt. I can breathe. I can see, like, yes, this is my phone, right? So I love doing that with people. However, there are times, just like with the computer, where it gets too complicated, okay? And a smartphone may not be the best thing for an adult who is struggling with dementia. And there is a phone out there. It's called the RAS memory phone. Have you heard of this before?
Yeah, they're actually part of Dementia Map, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So RAS has a smartphone, okay? It always stays on. It never goes off. It does not need any updates. It only allows you to call, I think, 6 people, and that's it. 6 people, that's all, with pictures. So it has pictures of the person who you're calling, and that's on your home screen at all times. There are no other features of the phone except for it to receive and make calls. But the beauty of this is that it is also operable by your caregiver, who can manage this on the back end with an app. So if you're not picking up your phone or there's a problem, the caregiver can check using the app on their side.
Well, that's nice. I remember, this is back in the day. My dad's been gone since 2001, so you got to dial it back. But we got him a phone because they were going to Florida. We're like, you got to have a phone. You know, you're driving down there. We almost killed him because it scared the crap out of him when it rang. You know, when we were checking, they didn't know what it was or where it was because they weren't used to having a phone back then. And I think that's really easy for us to forget about, you know, if it's normal or not. And I felt so bad when they told us that story, because my dad, my mom was digging, and my mom's the one with dementia. My dad's driving, and they just both got so rattled while they were on the freeway. And I just like, oh my goodness, that is not good.
I wanted to just add one other thing to that, to the phone piece. And that was, if you're if the person you're caregiving for, or if your parent is used to using a flip phone and they like the flip phone, I say go with it. Okay, this is not the time that they need to learn something new, especially if they just needed to make a phone call, right? Like your parents like just need to make a phone call. If they're comfortable with the flip phone, I say just go with it, right? There are a couple, and I would say two, good flip phones out there. And one that I would highly recommend is the Lively Flip. Okay, it's Lively Flip 2. It's a that clamshell design. It opens up, it's got great big buttons. You can take a picture with it. You can speak into it to Alexa. It has an OnStar button on it if you need emergency support, and an amplified speaker. So there really and truly are devices that are better for an adult who's struggling than, say, getting your recently passed down iPhone.
That's true. What do you think about, like the iPads that are out there that kind of have the closed network, like the GrandPad, and I know there's several others out there now.
Yeah, I think it really depends on who's using it and what their comfort level is. And so one thing I always say is to go with what you know. And again, so if you know how to use a flip phone, stick with a flip phone. If you know how to use an Apple device, then an iPad's going to be very, very similar to that. Go with what you know. So if they're already comfortable with the home button and, swiping over, to stick in that lane. But if this is a new introduction for them, they've never seen anything else like this before, and they just want to have a couple of things, then yes, the GrandPad is going to be a really good fit.
Okay. Yeah, because I know that that can have entertainment in the closed network and shareable, photos in the Zoom. But again, for some, that's just going to be too much stuff. But for others, it's going to bring great comfort. I think the sad part is people just don't have a clue all these options that are out there, or we get in such a mindset, I think, especially as a as an adult child, of, well, like you said, passing on what I had. I'll upgrade. You can have this. And it's just way too much. And they've never used all this stuff. And yeah. And we just assume that they use a tech product like we use a tech product.
And that's not the case. Yeah. Yeah.
Not at all. As far as, tech companies go out there, what are some of the top things that they're looking into right now? Can you share any of those with us, or is that all top secret?
Well, I know that tech companies are really looking into health products, things that people can purchase, especially over the counter, to gain more comfort and to get services that they need. For instance, one thing I came across recently is JVC. JVC, which is a has been around making speakers for a very long time, and other technical tech products, they have come out with a new over-the-counter OTC hearing aid, okay, that I truly believe is going to disrupt the hearing aid industry immensely. And here's why. With the growing number of older adults that are aging every single day, there are not enough audiologists to support this increased hearing loss that we're going to expect. And for many people who have hearing loss, mild to moderate hearing loss, can use something like the JVC OTC hearing aids. They can purchase them at a severely discounted price. And what I mean by that is when you go to an audiologist and you purchase a pair of hearing aids, and I've been with my clients before and I've gone through the process with them, they're around $5,000, $6,000. Okay. And no, insurance does not pay for it. All right. And they'll last you about 3 to 5 years. Okay. Probably a little bit too long. And before the technology advances. However, with these over-the-counter hearing aids, you can purchase these for around $900, between $700 and $900, which really is a game changer for so many people who don't want to pay that other amount, right? And who also may not even need to see an audiologist. Now, I know that that just sounds like, what? What? You have a hearing problem? What? You should go see an audiologist. But let's think of it like this. We used to always think that we had to see an optometrist in order to get some readers, but we don't have to do that anymore, right? You could just go to Walgreens and get a pair of readers, right? When did that happen? The same thing, like the same type of shift. Or we used to always think we would have to if we're going to book a trip for the family, we have to go to a travel agent and we do it with them over the, you know, over the phone. Yeah. If you have a very complicated trip, you may still do that. But if your trip is pretty straightforward, you're just going to book it online and not think twice about it. And the same thing is going to happen with these OTC hearing aids. And you're going to be able to pick up this pair. You can purchase them online. They're going to come to your home. The really unique and thing that the JVC pair has is that they've partnered with an AI tech company called Tuned. And Tuned has an AI app that you install on your phone and you put these in your ears. It shows you how in like short 30-second videos. First, do this step. Second, do this step. Third, do this step. It takes you through as if you were sitting there with an audiologist and will make all of the fine-tuned adjustments in real time to your hearing aid device.
Wow.
So I just think the world of this, I just think the more people can gain access to improving their hearing faster and independently with and inexpensively, the better everyone is.
That's incredible. And you're so right, how we book a trip, how we do so many things that we used to do differently you know, can really be simplified and bring that cost down. And so many people don't get those hearing aids because they can't afford the price. So, you know, that's amazing. What about monitoring? I know that that's always a hot button topic. Do we use video? Do we use audio? Do we use sensors? What do you think is the best? Is there a best type product or practice? Or is that, do you feel that that's still very individualized?
Yeah, it's definitely individualized. Okay. And up until recently, what we had available required breaching someone's privacy. So whether it was used a microphone or it used a camera. Right? Like we had these little blink cameras and we're just making sure that my friend's mother-in-law was okay in the house when all the family was out of town. Right. And so we just pop in, check the blink camera, make sure she's okay. But in the past couple of years, they have got, the innovators have come out with some new technology that involves radar sensors. And it's really not new per se. It's radar technology, which has been around. It's just used in a different way in a different system. So for instance, there are sensors that you can stick on a wall in various parts of the room that are about this size, each one. Okay. And you can put one in each room and it can sense movement. And then on the back end of that, an app can be extracting that data and then show you as a caregiver in real time how your family member is doing. Right. And it can also detect falls. And so that one in particular, the one that I'm most familiar with is called StackCare. And then in the past year or so, another company that I've come to know is called Helpanee. H-E-L-P-A-N-Y, Helpanee. This is a Swiss-based company that's moved to the U.S. that is installing these in senior living communities. And it is able to detect movement. It's able to detect falls. It's also able to detect abnormalities in a person's routine. So if you've made many visits to the bathroom, it would show up. And if you paced all night, it would show up. If you didn't move in the morning, you'd get an alert and a notification on that right away. So the other thing too, that within the senior living community that has come about through the use of this radar technology is on the caregiver side. If a caregiver visited a resident's apartment, how long were they there? They clocked in, but they were only there for 20 minutes, but it says that they were there for a half hour. That type of thing can be traced and that can save a senior living community a lot of money. If the community is having all their thermostats monitored at one central source, the sensor can tell whether or not someone's in the unit. And if not, can dial down the air conditioning, right? And save millions of dollars on an energy bill every year. So, and there are just great use cases for this type of technology.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm familiar with a company called Nomo Smart Cares that has the sensors and you can kind of read and track for both professional or families and stuff. And I find that really interesting because I heard so much pushback on the pictures, you know, people videoing and
yeah.
Family seemed to feel, some family really wanted to be able to see physically what was going on. But there, like you said, there was that whole other side of privacy and same with the audio in terms of what conversations are being had and giving permission to all of that. So it's interesting to see how all of that changes. And even when you had mentioned about, are they going to the bathroom during the night multiple times? I mean, that can pick up on UTIs and things like that too, that make a difference, or patterns have switched. And those UTIs, as people get older, can really throw things for a loop in multiple fashions. I just want to mention that if people are just tuning in right now, we have been talking with Abby Ritchie on everything tech for our seniors and dementia. And it's just been a wonderful conversation. So, you know, if you're just hopping on now, you're going to want to reel back in because we've covered TVs and phones and computers and all different types of things. And again, we could probably talk for a week straight and still have so much more to talk on. We're going to hear from QBlox, and they are a webmaster that just does phenomenal work, which I can speak of for myself. They've helped me out in many, many situations. And then we'll be right back with Abby again. I also want to introduce you all to QBlox. They have been absolutely excellent to deal with. They have been in business for 18 years and they serve the globe. I can't say enough good things about this company. I've had a lot of bad experiences. I don't know about you with tech companies. They have made a very complicated process very easy. And their staff is so kind, so polite, so respectful to work with. And you know, when I am frustrated and ready to pull my hair out, they just smile and tell me everything's going to be okay. And they really are just on top of the communication, which alleviates so much stress as an owner when you're dealing with tech issues. You can get a 10% discount. Visit them at QBlox, that's QBlox.com. Or you can email them at letstalk@qblox.com. For that 10% discount, just put Lori, L-O-R-I, in the inquiry form. And again, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I surely haven't been. I can't rave enough about this company. And that's kind of rare these days. So Abby, I'm just learned so much from you on this. I do want to have you mention your website and email contact that you want people to have as well. And we'll make sure that we put that in the show notes too.
Okay, sure. People can connect with me via email, Abby, A-B-B-I-E, at thesmarterservice.com. And the website is www.thesmarterservice.com. And I am on LinkedIn all the time. So if you want to connect with me there, please do so.
Thank you. I cared for my dad with brain cancer for like 4.5 years. And my mom lived with dementia for 30. And back in the day, you know, there wasn't much for technology to help them or to help us. Where do you recommend families go to find out about technology? I mean, I know, you know, we've created Dementia Map and we encourage tech companies to go ahead and list their stuff in there. But it's, you know, it's an uphill battle getting to all of these organizations to be able to find them. And yet people don't know what to Google because they don't even know what's possible out there. And so they find it confusing. Have you found something easy for people to access regarding this?
You know, I would probably lead people back to Best Buy in many instances because you're going to find a wealth of knowledge at their stores. That would be one place. And then additionally, I would say, yeah, your map is amazing. I think you'd have to do some research in order to come across certain resources. So I haven't thought about that before, what would be a good place to point people. But at the Smarter Service, we do have tech memberships, for instance. So it's really to take the burden off of the adult child, but also to make sure that the person who's using the technology is safe and secure, and that their confidence level is being constantly increased. So we would come over, we'd look at your setup, we'd figure out what needs to be done, what needs to be updated, what you want to work on, and then continue to build on your knowledge base that way. We also are teaching classes every week on a variety of topics, and they're all on the basics. So for instance, you know, we just talk about the basics because we know that when people have a basic understanding and foundational knowledge, that they feel more confident and confident to continue learning. I know that my students are always looking for to build on their foundation. And you would be surprised how many times people have said, oh, I never knew what that button was for, but now I know, right? Like no one's ever showed them. That's where the microphone is. And they've been covering it with their hand. And that's why people aren't hearing them, right? So those are things that we do with the Smarter Service, because we know that there's a huge digital divide, right? A huge digital divide. And that divide opens an older adult up to hacking and scams and frauds. And that divide also keeps an older adult from connecting with their family and friends. And so we want to provide a bridge between that in a loving, compassionate, patient way.
Now, is that something that you provide in terms of meeting with people nationally or internationally or just within your state, or how does that work?
Yeah, it is nationally.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because that's a massive, massive need. So I'm glad that I've learned of that, because I didn't realize that you did that on a national level. So that's fantastic, because it's so confusing. I think of my neighbor who has dementia, and you know, the kids bought a phone system, and they also bought, you know, a pendant if she falls, and how that can be used. And we've gone round and round, but we get these panic calls because she's on the scammer list, and they call her house. They get her cell phone number. Even when she changes it, they pretend to be the bank. And she, at one of these days, I'm worried she's going to have a heart attack because she's so frightened. And then she drives herself to the banks and double checks. And it's people really need to understand the importance of getting the right product for the ones that they love or care for.
It's huge. And it's a huge education piece. And so one thing that we started doing a couple weeks ago is doing a Fraud Friday. So every Friday I create a video about what the fraud trends that I've been seeing, for instance. And in a recent one, I said, you know, about phone fraud, about those scam calls, don't answer a number that you don't recognize. If someone needs to contact you, they'll leave a message, right? So don't answer a number you don't recognize. Don't give out any information. Just hang up. Now, that in itself is it's like telling someone not to brush their teeth, okay? Because we were all trained to pick up the phone, right? Especially as a business owner. And, you know, I think my kids are calling me all the time, right? And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, the phone's ringing. What if it's a teacher at the school, blah, 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 right? And it's like, I want to pick up the phone, but I don't want to get into a conversation with a salesperson or a scammer, obviously. So, and I just see so many of my clients, their phone rings, they go, they pick it up without even thinking about it. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a scam call.
Well, and sometimes I think it's a socialization, you know, that loneliness factor where they want that connection. And people really, you know, they lay into that. Like with my neighbor, she'll pick it up, but then she takes notes on everything. And I'm like, but did you give him that account number? No, I didn't. And I'm like, then why did you write it down? You know, and so it's really scary trying to interpret all of that. Then when you have dementia on top of it, they don't recognize the numbers. And again, making sure that when they're inputted, it comes up with a name. Because I know myself, I mean, when I was younger, I could remember over 100 different phone numbers. I can't even remember my daughter's anymore.
I know.
I remember where I grew up. That number, but that's like it. And I know my phone number. But everyone else, I got to pick up my phone.
Yeah.
I got to look. My brain's been retrained on how to retrieve stuff compared to what it used to be. I love that you're doing the Fraud Fridays, though. I think that is massive because people, Lance Slatton and I did a show on scams and stuff, and it's nonstop the angles they go at people. It just absolutely nonstop with that stuff, and the emotional hit that it takes on somebody. I had a friend who was living with dementia, and she got scammed in, got into the buy the credit cards, go to Target and buy $5,000 worth of credit cards, and was told not to meet anybody, but call before she left the store with all the numbers. And Target saw that, and three people scooped around her and stopped it. But it was so devastating and so embarrassing to her that she fell for that. And, but these people are really smooth at what they do, and I still can't figure out how they can clone a phone number. Like I had my energy company call me, and it said it was XL Energy, but it wasn't them. It was somebody else trying to get my account information from me and trying to tell me that I was late on a bill. Yeah. And I thought I just paid that bill, but I picked it up because it said XL. And I wanted to
send a
message. And so you can't always trust that stuff either. It's just.
You really can't. You have to be on guard with it all. You really do. And it's really tricky. That's one of the reasons why this is just an ongoing education piece for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I will let my students know, if you're not sure, go to the FTC.gov, go to the AARP.org website. Both of them are listing out current scams. Call us, before you call that phone number back or you engage, call us at the Smarter Service and ask us.
Better Business, I know, has a list of stuff too and puts it up. But, it's constantly changing and evolving. And once you get on that list, they seem to share it with everybody and their brother, which makes it even more with that. Well, is there anything that we haven't discussed yet? I can't believe our hour has just about blown by. It's just been so helpful, Abby.
Yeah, you know what? There is one thing that I do want to talk about, and that is using your voice to help you get things accomplished. And we've seen how popular Alexa has become in the the past couple of years. Same with same with that one. And what I always tell my clients is, right now, today, start using the dictation in your device. Use the dictation that came with your device. So use that digital assistant today. Because what I find is that sometimes I get pulled into working with, not pulled in, but so I get asked to work with someone who maybe has Parkinson's, maybe they can't use their voice as well as they used to. And learning it at that point is really challenging, or learning it at the point in which your macular degeneration is taking place is also really challenging to then start talking to a device. But if you start today, while you still have dexterity in your fingers and your eyesight is still relatively good, start using the built-in dictation, and that is going to become your next BFF. It's going to serve you for years and years and years to come, long after you've lost your eyesight. And then additionally, there is another piece of technology I've just recently learned about, and it's called MiCare, MiCare. And this is like a cube, okay? So you can kind of look at it like an Alexa combination with LEQ. So with LEQ, you can talk into it. It will respond to you. It will tell you how you're doing. But with MiCare, you can put medication reminders in there. You can make hydration reminders. And all this is coming from a cute little 10-year-old's voice. So it's very, very warm, and has a very caring and comforting kind of voice. When you're an older adult listening to a 10-year-old's voice, like you kind of lean into it. And it's going, and so you can engage with it, and it will also help you to call your daughter, for instance, when you want to, or to find out what's next on your schedule. So yeah, I do. There's just like That one is above and beyond. It's especially helpful for when you've come home from the hospital and you need some additional acute care.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I love the kind of intergenerational voice to draw you in as well, because we do lean in when we hear people talk. So that's wonderful. I had not heard of that. Is there anything out there that you think tech companies are just missing the mark on or haven't really dove into that you see as an issue?
Yeah, you know, what I see over and over and over again is that someone will have a great idea and they won't spend enough time with their target market in order to really make sure it's what they need and what they want and that it's easy to use. So I dislike, immensely dislike anything that's complicated. I just, right away, I cannot introduce this as something I can discuss. So it has to be more than simple. It has to be so intuitive. And so I do think that tech companies miss that piece when their beautiful piece of technology. They miss the education piece. They miss the simplicity piece. And they need to deploy people to educate consumers on how to use their fascinating piece of technology, or well, it will get orphaned.
I agree with that. And you see that happen so often, and they spend so much money. And it's just a couple more steps that make the difference. Absolutely,
yeah.
Make the difference with that. Well, Abby, this has just been absolutely a wonderful conversation. I know my audience is just going to eat this up because these are common questions that people are faced with. And the other thing that's cool is, you know, everything you gave us today is evergreen. So the next person stepping in, this is stuff that they can take with you. And I also loved when you talked about the dictation, start it now, start using these tools now, because, you know, as our abilities change and our skill sets change, it does become more difficult. And then we pull back and we say we can't do it or it's too hard.
Yeah.
And I hear from people living with dementia all the time how they're really embracing a lot of the new technology, with being able to talk into something and be able to get what they want, or the reminders that you said with this MyCare. I hadn't heard about that one. I know people have been using Alexa and different things. And I know there's also a paranoia of, are people listening when I don't want them to listen? You know, if they're always listening for me to call on something, what do you say to that? You know, for, you know, some of these hearing devices and reminders that we have out there.
You know, I honestly don't get into that piece at all. I really don't cater to that piece. I do the Fraud Friday, but I also want people to, if someone is paranoid about using their device, I'm not going to try to talk them out of it.
Well, and everybody has their different reasons and perceptions of what's going on and what could be causing that or not. I definitely understand that. I definitely can respect that. So you can reach her by going to the website, thesmarterservice.com. You can reach her at abby@thesmarterservice.com. She's on Instagram and LinkedIn. And, you know, if you follow Foresight, she's on there. CBS, is that your local channel there?
It is for now. Yep.
For now. Yep. I can definitely see that one expanding. So you're doing a magnificent job, and we really appreciate your time here today. And for our audience, I always ask them to be a giver of hope, like, click, and share this episode so that other people can get this information. You have people in your sphere that are needing this information. And the more we can share content, the easier it's going to be for people to be able to find it, the more comfortable it's going to be for them to grab, because it's come from a trusted source, you. So help us spread the word and make lives easier. Appreciate y'all. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Hey everybody, Jared Sebestier, host of Retire Repurposed. This podcast is dedicated to help people transition into fulfilling and purposeful retirements. Retirement is a big life change. In fact, the two most dangerous years of a person's life are the year they were born and the year they retire. Few people could just flip the switch from working a career 30 or 40 plus years, retiring on Friday, without methodical steps to living what we call a repurposed retirement. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.